You know, in some churches, they have series, and they'll do a 10-week series on a subject or a 16-week series on a subject, and we rarely do that. I think I've done a 3-part series one time. Alan did maybe a 3-part series one time. But with our rotating team of preachers, we don't really do that often. But it's interesting to me what God has done the past several weeks, because Cammy started a few weeks back, and she talked about take a risk and start praying for people. And then Kirk followed her, and he said, for such a time as this. And he said, we've got an open window of opportunity right now, and this is a special time, and we need to understand that. And then last week, Paul came up and really talked about, what are you doing then? See, if there's a take a risk and there's a window of opportunity, what are you doing? Well, today we're going to sort of culminate all those messages, and I'm going to have Dan come up. You've not heard from Dan before. I asked him to give a little bit of his testimony because, you know, we have people in the room that do all kind of things for us, and we don't even understand where they came from. And so he can tell you a little bit about what he came from. He's going to tell you what he's doing.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Pastor Easy. My name is Dan. I'm on ministry staff here at Epicenter Church, but first and foremost, I just want to say I'm a son of God. God is just so amazing. He's brought me out of a lot of things, and I just want to share a little bit about that and things that he's been doing through my life the past couple of years. But yeah, so I grew up in the church. I went to Sunday school every Sunday. I knew all the Bible stories. I'm so grateful for all the seeds that were planted into my life. But when I was about 10 years old, I stopped going to church. There's just things that were going on, and you know, I didn't really care for it. I didn't really have that deep one-on-one relationship with Jesus. And not that you can't, that if you're a kid, you totally can. But for me, I just didn't. During that time, I was actually very passionate about bowling, which is weird for a kid, but my grandpa bowled, my grandma bowled, my family bowled, they all had their own balls, and so that's just something that I wanted to do. So I joined a league over at AMF Stafford. I think the name is different now, but I was on a league there, and I would bowl every Saturday, and I was actually really good. When I was 11 years old, I bowled a 250. Yeah. And so I would go all across Texas doing tournaments, and I had some scholarship money from it. But then there was one day when I was 11 years old that me and my friend, we were roughhousing and wrestling, and he picked me up and slammed me on the ground. And because of that, I actually injured my back. And so from that day, anytime I would bowl, after a couple of throws, I would just start falling to the ground. Like, I couldn't keep it up anymore. So my dream was to be a professional bowler, but that dream died. Because of that, part of that brought me into a depression. I had anxiety as a kid. Anytime I would go to school, I would just try to find any way that I could to get out of it. I used to love running, but whenever we had the mile run in middle school, I couldn't really do it because my back was just in so much pain all the time. And so that just, it drove me into a deep depression, which led me to having a video game addiction. I still play games today, but just not to the extent that I did. When I say addiction, I mean, I use that to cope. I use that to just try to fill a void, to just try to feel normal, to try to feel happy. I would play 24 hours to 27 hours at a time. And then I would sleep for maybe 6 to 7 hours, rinse and repeat. I know you're probably thinking, well, why didn't your mom just take the games away from you? Well, there was one night I actually went into her room and I told her, Mom, I want to kill myself. And so my mom, she really didn't know what to do. She freaked out. A lot of people were trying to help me, but I just had it. I was just chained in addiction and depression. And so she took me to therapy. They put me on antidepressants, and none of it really felt like it was working. But then it was in 2007. There was one day that I just had a pain in my right side. And just throughout the day, the pain just started getting worse and worse. And I told my parents about it. And they just told me, oh, maybe you just need to use the restroom. Maybe you're constipated. That wasn't the case. I wish it was. And so just throughout the day, throughout the night, it got worse and worse until about midnight, sorry, just to pause. If you would have asked me, I would have said that I was an atheist at this time. Every now and then I'd pray to Jesus just in case, but if you were to ask me, I would say that I was an atheist. And so that night, the pain got worse and worse to the point to where I just cried out, God, if you're real, give me a sign that I need to go to the hospital. And within 5 seconds, I just heard a loud boom, and it scared me. I jumped up, and I just ran. I ran down. I told my parents, take me to the hospital right now. Something is wrong. Just take me. I don't know what's wrong. Just take me. And so they took me. I went into the ER, and the doctor said that I had appendicitis. If I would have waited 2 more hours, my appendix would have burst. That night, I knew that God was real. I was pretty sure it was Jesus, but I didn't know for sure. But I knew God was real. I can't explain that sound, but it shook me to my core. Yeah, there's my dad who's in heaven right now. And then my friend, Matt, he's my best friend. I've known him my whole life. During that time, Matt also went to church with me when I was a kid. And during that time of me being away from God and away from the church, he was praying for me to come to Jesus. And so Matt is actually, he's actually the one who invited me a couple of months later after the surgery to go to a Bible study. And so whenever that happened, they preached the gospel. And I mean, I heard it before. When I was a kid, I knew that Jesus died for my sins. I knew about the cross and everything. But whenever they actually explained everything, the one thing that sticks out, I don't remember the whole sermon or anything, but I just remember that the details when they were explaining the cat of nine tails, which was a whip, and it had metal chunks and it had bone chunks, and they would use it to whip and lash Jesus, and they would rip his flesh out. Something about that just stuck out to me. I couldn't say what it was back then. Now I just, the Lord's given me some things on that, but it's just really, that just shook me to my core. Just the description and everything clicked then. Just, it clicked. And so whenever they had the prayer of salvation, I closed my eyes and I said yes to Jesus. Whenever I did that, the anxiety left. The depression left. The addiction was broken. I wasn't chained up any longer. I had peace. I had joy. It was unlike anything I'd ever known before. And so because of that, I became on fire for Jesus. I wanted to know him more. I spent hours and hours and hours just reading the word, getting into the word. I started going to different churches. I went to a Baptist church. I went to a Methodist church. I went to a non-denominational church. I went to Young Life. The Mormons even tried to get me. They invited me to a Bible study. My mom said, no, don't go. They're a cult. And I was like, no, mom, they love Jesus. And she's like, no, they don't. I'm like, I'm going to go see for myself. I came back. It was a cult. But, man, I was just on fire for Jesus, and I just wanted to know him more. And to rewind a little bit, back in 2008, I actually taught myself how to scream, like metal screaming. And so, you know, I didn't have a lot of talents, but I had that one talent, and I wanted to use it for Jesus. And so me and my friends, we created a band. It was a Christian band, and, you know, we would go and we would just scream for Jesus, and there'd be kids of all different religions and backgrounds, and they would get to hear the gospel. We would get to preach Jesus to them, and I even know of one kid, he was a Muslim, but now he's not. And it was just an amazing time. But during that time, we were actually getting really close to being signed to a label. We got an offer. We turned it down because we wanted a different label. I have friends who signed to that label, and now they're touring the world. Like, it's just a crazy opportunity. But I turned it down because I ended up going to Nicaragua and for a mission trip. And so when I was there, I got to see the poorest of the poor. I got to see the people that Jesus loves, the people that Jesus died for. I mean, he did it for all of us, but these people have nothing. They literally have nothing. And just the whole culture shock, it was crazy. And so when I was there, I just I knew that I had to give up the band. Like, it was a good thing. It wasn't anything bad. Like, it was for Jesus. But I felt the call to missions. I felt like God put a call for me for a mission. So I came back and I told them, hey, guys, I'm sorry. Like, you all know I love Jesus. You all know I love this band. But he's called me to missions. And so I laid down my dream of touring and sharing Jesus with the world for something else. And then, you know, I had this plan of, oh, I came back and I'm going to be sent out. But then those things didn't happen. I didn't get sent out. And I still have a heart for missions. I still know that we're going to, me and my wife, we have a heart for Thailand specifically, and we're going to be sent out someday. But right now, in the meantime, what am I doing? What was I going to do in the meantime? So in the meantime, I was serving at different apartment complexes. We went to an apartment complex, and there was a lot of Burmese refugees. We also went into Third Ward and just hung out with people and loved on them. And it was just an amazing time. It was just an amazing time to just serve people who didn't have a lot and who needed to know Jesus. There was people who were drunk. There was people who were high, and they got to encounter the love of God for the first time. And yeah, those are some of the kids, but there is also adults. But during that time serving, I actually watched some videos on YouTube of people going out and praying for the sick and seeing them healed. And so for 2 years straight, it was like 2012 to 2013, I just prayed every night, God, I want to be used in healing. I want to see God heal people. And so when I was out serving, I would pray for people all the time, but I saw nothing happen. I didn't see any healings at all, but I didn't care. I was like, God, I want this. I want to see this happen. And so in 2013, I was actually, 2013 to beginning of 2014, I was in a relationship, and I thought I was going to marry this person. Thankfully, things didn't work out. I love my wife. She's amazing. And so I used the money that I was saving up for an engagement ring. So this one guy that I saw on YouTube, his name was Pete, and he actually, at that time that the breakup all happened, he opened up a school to teach people how to pray for the sick and to see them healed. And so I took that money that I was saving up for an engagement ring, and I paid for the school. It was over in Kansas. And so, you know, Pete wasn't very administrative. He would try to give us the details of me and the other students who were coming, and there'd be like typos all over the place of when he's gonna pick us up, because he'd live 2 hours away from the airport. And I was like, oh my gosh, did I just get scammed? Honestly. But I just took a step of faith. I took a step of faith and I got on that plane. And when I arrived at the airport in Kansas, whenever I got off the plane and into the hallway, I see Pete there. And next to him, I see an older gentleman, and he had a cane, but he wasn't using it anymore. I saw my first miracle right when I got off the plane. It was insane. I would love to say that, I mean, I was happy, but at the same time, I was skeptical. I was like, did he just pay this guy maybe? That's just how I'm thinking, you know? I'm honest, I'm sorry. And so, but either way, I was still excited. And it was a 5-day school. But the first 2 days, you know, I thought we were going to go out and pray for people. I thought he was going to teach us on healing, but he didn't. He didn't teach us at all on healing. He taught us about identity and who we are in Christ. And, you know, I've read the Bible multiple times, and I read all the scriptures he showed me. But when you grow up with a lens of, oh, I'm a sinner, and I'm always going to sin, and I'm never going to be free, I'm always going to struggle, I'm good for nothing. But when someone else just completely destroys that lens and shows you, no, you're righteous, you're holy, you're blameless, you're above reproach, you're a son of God, it just changed everything. And when you know your worth, you're not afraid of anything anymore. And so that on the third day, we went to a soup kitchen that Pete actually volunteered a lot at. And so I got to pray for my first person. Yeah, her name was Daisy. She was an older lady, and she had a shoulder problem. And so I prayed for her, and she said it was better. I would love to say I was excited, but I was also still skeptical. I was like, Pete comes here all the time. These people know him. Maybe he paid them all off. You know, maybe this is all just one big scam. And so later that day, we actually went to a flea market, and I saw Pete pray for a guy, and his back got completely healed. And it was just a random guy, so I was like, okay, Pete doesn't know this guy. Like, someone else randomly picked this guy from nowhere, you know? And then this one kid heard about what happened. And so, if you could put the picture up, yeah. Me, that's me, and then there's another Daniel. We prayed for this kid. He had injured his knee playing soccer, and it was just really messed up. And so he asked if we would pray for him. And so we prayed for him, and he said that he started feeling heat in his knee, and he felt heat, and then me and the other Daniel actually felt the knee move, like something was happening on the inside. And that was the first time I was like, what the heck? Okay, this is real. This is real. This is real. And so he started just bending and squatting, and his knee had no pain. It was completely restored. It was absolutely awesome. And so from there, we went to a mall to pray for people. Now, I know I've been sharing like some highlights. I'm going to share one of the biggest rejections of my life. I'm telling you guys, you can't get rejected in a worse way than this. So we were at a mall, and I see a guy limping, and he's just like this. And so I'm excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go pray for him. God's going to heal him. It's going to be amazing. So I go up to him, and I'm just like, excuse me, sir. Like, I see you're limping. Would it be okay if I pray for your leg? And he stops, and he just looks at me. What leg? It was a prosthetic. He had no leg. And so me just being excited anyways, I said, that's okay. Can I just pray that it grows out anyways? But, man, I know of testimonies of that happening, though. And so one day I'm going to see it. I know the guy was offended. He actually cussed me out. I walked away. I laughed it off, you know. Jesus loves him. You know, I was just passionate. I was zealous. I wanted to see it happen, you know. But, yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to step out. Like, it can't get any worse than that, honestly. And so, you know, the trip is over. I'm in the airport. We pray for a lady, and this is still in Kansas, sorry. We're in the airport in Kansas, and so we pray for a lady. And while we're praying for her, this is the first time I ever felt the tangible presence of God. I felt a tingling in my hand, and the lady got healed. And before, you know, I would feel goosebumps in church services and stuff. But me being always skeptical, I thought, maybe it's just the AC, you know. It's cold in here. Maybe it's just the AC. But no, that was the first time I felt like a tingling in my hands. And just from there, you know, I felt different things of the Spirit. But we don't live by feelings, even though they're awesome. They're amazing. Sometimes I don't feel it. Sometimes I do. And so in that airport, after that lady got healed, I was faced with something. I was faced with, okay, was this just going to be a one-week thing where I had these amazing testimonies, these amazing experiences? Or am I going to come back home and do this everywhere I go? And so I chose to go and do it everywhere. First thing, whenever I go back to work, pray for my manager. Guys, do this. Pray for your manager. Get your manager healed, because that opens the door to everybody else. If your manager gets healed and your coworkers complain that you're preaching Jesus, they're not going to care because they got healed. They got touched by Jesus. But I would see all of my coworkers getting healed. I've had Muslim coworkers get healed, and they would tell other Muslims, hey, let Dan pray for you. God doesn't answer my prayers, but he listens to Dan. And so I just want to encourage you guys, pray for your coworkers. They need Jesus. They don't know it. They might be a little hesitant, but honestly, most people, like, they're fine with you praying for them. And if they say no, then they say no. Who cares? And so, you know, I just, everywhere I went, there was a Wingstop. I was hanging out with one of my friends, and because I was telling him about everything that had happened. And I saw a guy come out of the restroom. He had crutches on. He had a knee brace. And I stopped him. I was like, hey, I know you just came out of the restroom, but can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, sure. And so his knee got healed. And then the Wingstop employees saw it happen. So I got to pray for the Wingstop employees, and so they got healed. And so it just went everywhere I went. Everywhere I went, I just stepped out. I'm going to tell you guys, I didn't feel led at all to pray for anyone. I just stepped out. Like, sometimes I'll feel led to pray for people. Majority of the times, I don't feel led to pray for people. I would say, like, 95% of the time, I don't feel led to pray for people. I just do it. If I see that there's a need, or if I just want to do it, like, I'll just be, hey, this is a really random question, but do you have any pain in your body? And, you know, they're going to be like, why? But sometimes they just tell you why. And so, you know, I pray for them and they get healed. Like, it's just, it's really simple. It's not a complex thing. And I'm going to get into that. We're going to actually do some activation and equipping because it's not just for me. Anyone can do it. I've seen someone who was saved one day go and pray for someone and they get healed. And it's not a gift of, what I'm doing is not a gift of healing. It's going out and laying hands and seeing them healed. It's not a gift of healing what I'm doing. And there are gifts of healing, but what I'm doing, that's not it. I'm just stepping out and believing God to heal them. And so during this time, I started posting all of these awesome testimonies on Facebook. And so some kids from the youth group saw them, and my wife specifically, back then she was just a friend. But yeah, there's Alicia and Paul and Ariana was there and mom was there, and it was just an awesome time. So I started training up all of them and how to do this and a bunch of other youth from our church at the time. And so we would go out to Herman Park, and back then, I don't know if it's still like this, but back then there was a lot of homeless people. And so we would go and pray for homeless people. The first day we went, we saw a lot of homeless people get healed, and we actually saw a guy get delivered of a demon. We had never done that before. I had no idea what I was doing, but it happened. Jesus showed up. And so just step out. You know, God has given you authority. He's given you power to do this thing. Like, man, we just got to do it. But yeah, that was just such an awesome season, just building relationships with the homeless people, because we would see them every single week. We got to know them. We actually took them out to lunch sometimes, and it was a fun time. It's not just about the healing. It's about loving people. And so this week when I was preparing the message, the major word I kept hearing throughout the week while thinking of testimonies was disqualification. And then I told Lena this during the week. She actually reminded me that she had said the same thing this past Sunday, that people feel disqualified. And honestly, I didn't remember her saying that. I know she did, but I was busy helping Aiden with sound because he's new and we want to equip other people and other things in the church, you know? And so I really honestly forgot that, but it must be really important to God if he's still bringing that up. If there's people in here who feel disqualified, like they can't step out and do this thing, I'm telling you guys, God has qualified you. I'm going to show you in scripture where God has qualified you. Before I do that, though, I have two disclaimers. This is a serious one. This doesn't disqualify you, but I just want you to know, if you live in secret sin and people get healed when you pray, it doesn't mean God approves of your lifestyle or sin. It means God has mercy and loves people regardless of you. If you're living in secret sin, please go to one of the leaders here and confess that to them and help them help you. Because you can come into a place of freedom. You don't have to struggle with sin. And then number two, I fully believe and rely on my intimacy with God every single day. But a lot of things I'm going to tell you is just practical steps. Like I said earlier, I don't feel led most of the time. I'm just stepping out. And so it might sound like I'm not following the Spirit, but I'm telling you, when I step out, it didn't happen at first, but the Lord would start giving me words for people. And so it's not that I'm not being led by the Spirit, but while waiting to be led by the Spirit, there have been times where I've talked myself out of stepping out. And so I would wait to be led, and then there's like 100 people passing by that could be touched by God in the meantime. And so I just want you guys to know, like, I love intimacy with God. I love being led by the Spirit. But just for this, just for a practical way to get you out of your comfort zone, to step out, that's what this is about. So in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, Jesus tells his disciples to go out. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So what are the things that Jesus taught and commanded them to teach us? Well, if we look in Luke 9, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Those are some of the things that the disciples were taught by Jesus to teach us. And maybe you're saying or thinking, that doesn't really qualify me. That was just for them. That doesn't apply to me. Well, I'm going to give you another verse to back it up. You know, the Bible is full of things. The word of God can back itself up. So in Mark 16, 15 through 18, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." If you're a believer, these are the signs that are going to follow you. If you haven't walked in it, there's no condemnation, there's no shame, but we're equipping you today. So these signs are going to follow you because you're a believer. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." If you're a believer, I just want to tell you, you're qualified. The scripture says you're qualified. You can do this thing. It's not just for the apostles. It's not just for people in ministry. I was doing all of this before I worked at this church. Like, I didn't even come to this church at the time. And so I just want you to know, if you're a believer, you can do this thing. And it doesn't matter how young, how old you are. I've seen little kids pray for the sick, doing the same thing that I'm doing. We've taught a little kid to go and pray for the sick, and he prayed for a guy's knee, and he got healed. Like, it's for everyone. Once again, this is not a gift of healing. This is just stepping out. That's one of the number one things I always get whenever I would tell people before. Oh, you just have the gift of healing. I don't. That's why you do this. I do worship. I don't have the gift of healing. Oh, I do this. I don't have the gift of healing. No, I don't have it. I just go out and I pray for people. And just a little golden nugget, if you actually look at the scripture, it just says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't even say pray. There's been times where I've just laid my hands on the sick, not praying out loud, not praying in my head, and I've seen people healed. And I just want you to know, like, in those past few scriptures, there's another key thing. God said to go out. He said to go out. So he's giving you the green light to go. He's not saying, wait to be led. He said, go. So we're going to go. Not just me, all of us. We're going to go. So Friday night, actually, we took three of our young adults who had never been out evangelizing. And so, you know, I taught them a little bit of what I'm about to teach you guys in a little bit. And they got to see miracles happen. They got to go out and pray for people. Friday night, it was me, Vic, and Ariana. We saw a guy with a brace on his ankle. And so just to show them like how easy it is. I mean, Ariana's done it before, but this is Vic's first time going out into a Walmart and praying for people. We just went up to him and was like, hey, man, we're going around praying for people. I see that you have a brace on your ankle. Is it okay if we pray for you? He's like, yeah. You know, honestly, I was just expecting pushback, but he just said, yeah, go for it. And so, you know, he had a little kid in the cart, and I didn't want to scare him or anything because it was like three of us. And so I'm just always aware of my surroundings. I don't want to make people fearful at all. And so he was maybe right here. I was here. I was just like, I just command healing right now to this ankle. I command full healing, full restoration, every bit of pain go right now in Jesus' name. Just as simple as that. And then he was like, oh, thanks. And I was like, no, wait, you got to do me a favor. Can you check it for me? And so he checked it, and like all the pressure, all the stuff that was in there was just left. And so he told me this story. It was a couple years ago. I think he fractured it and hurt it and something like that. But honestly, like, I'll be honest. I used to step out a lot. Like, the first time that I saw the healings, I saw probably 100 healings the first month. And then, you know, I saw more and more and more. But honestly, since COVID, I kind of withdrew. I know I sort of said that whenever we prayed a couple weeks ago, but if you weren't here, I've withdrawn since COVID. I became passive. And I've prayed for people since then, but just not at the capacity that I used to. And so we're changing that. I'm changing that. I'm not going to allow that to happen any longer. I'm going to step out more. And so Paul and Ayeli were praying with a lady, and man, there's just an awesome story with it. They went up to her and they were praying for her, and I think she was in the army, right? And so Paul just got a word for her while they were praying, like, you don't have to be strong anymore. And she just started bursting out crying, and so God was just touching her. And so it's just like, it wasn't even like healing or laying on hands. It's just praying for people, and God gave Paul a word, and it just touched her heart. And there's some more things that happened with that, but just for the sake of time, man, it's just awesome. Like, go out. Whenever you're in Walmart, go out. This isn't, we purposely, they didn't know this, but I told them afterwards, we purposely didn't pray for outreach. Like, we didn't circle around or anything because I didn't want them to get into outreach mindset. This is an everyday thing. This is as you go, everywhere you go, we can do this. And so I told them that after, and they're like, yeah, I was wondering why we didn't pray. I was like, this isn't outreach, guys. This is your life. And so this is a testimony from a couple years back. It was me and Ariana. We were actually once again in a Walmart. Guys, I'm telling you guys, people love prayer in Walmart. The only thing different from now compared to back then is a lot of people have a lot more wireless headphones. So they want to go in, they want to get out, but sometimes you got to stop them anyways. But this was a couple years ago. Me and Ariana just go up to a Walmart employee. They have to talk to you, you know? And so we go up to him. I'm blunt. Alicia likes to talk to people. She likes to ease them into it. I'm just blunt. I'm like, hey, man, you got any pain in your body? And so he's like, yeah, actually, I do. And I was like, oh, what is it? He's like, well, actually, I have pain down there. And I was like, in my head, I'm just like, I'm not laying hands there. And so I just told him, okay, well, we'll pray for you. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? And so and so, man, I didn't know what to say, honestly. I was just like, God, I thank you that you love him. I just command all this pain to go from him in Jesus' name. I thank you just for restoring him, Lord. I don't know what's happened, but I just thank you for restoring him. And in God's love and mercy, God healed him. He bursted out in tears, crying, because he had a pain that I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I didn't ask. But usually when stuff like that happens, it's usually not anything good. And so, but in God's love and mercy, he healed him. And he got touched by Jesus that day. When you're out on the streets, there's a thing that might happen. You might pray for someone, and the pain will go down a little bit, but it doesn't completely go away. Or you pray for someone and nothing happens. I want you to know, you can pray more than once. So there's actually scripture where Jesus prayed twice for a guy. And so I love scripture because if Jesus can do it, we can do it too. Obviously, Jesus could touch someone and they'd be healed in an instant, but he does it to give us an example. In Mark 8:22-26, it says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. There was actually a time that I was in Huntsville, and I was showing some other people how to do this thing too, how to go and pray for the sick. And so we were praying for this guy. He was a little standoffish. He was making fun of us, but you know, this was actually his entertainment. It was like, yeah, go for it. Go pray for me, like laughing, like he was an atheist. And so we prayed for him and nothing happened. He had something wrong with his leg. And so we prayed for him, nothing happened. And I was like, man, like, I'll usually joke around if I want to pray twice. I'm like, man, Jesus prayed twice. Like, give me another chance. And he was like, okay, sure. And he's just laughing while we're praying. He's just laughing the whole time, laughing at us, making fun of us. And so we just pray. We just command healing to this knee right now in Jesus' name, full healing, full restoration. And I said, go ahead, check it. And his face became blank because God completely just healed him on the spot. While he was making fun of us, while he was mocking God, God still healed him. Man, like, who cares if people make fun of us? Like, there's people in other countries who are dying. All these people are doing are making fun of us. Who cares? Like, we're not being beheaded in America. We have so much freedom, but we hide. We hide because, you know, there's fear of man, or we just don't feel qualified. But I'm just telling you guys, and I'm not just preaching to you guys. Like, I feel this stuff too. Like, even now, sometimes, like, whenever I saw that first guy with the ankle, I had to step out, you know, because I'm either going to see it and walk away, or I'm going to do it. And then there's also times where I pray and I don't see anything happen, but I believe that God is still moving. And so there's actually a scripture that in Luke 17, 12 through 16, it says, "Then as he entered a village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." This wasn't on the streets, but there was a lady who had another ankle brace. And so I prayed for her and nothing happened. And I was just like, God, like, man, what's happening? You know, when I see nothing happen, I always tell them, like, I believe God is healing you. Like, I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but, like, I believe it. Like, even if I don't see them again, like, I feel like it's happening. And sometimes it doesn't. Like, I've prayed for people and they've died, if I'm being honest. But with this lady, I actually met up with her a week later, and she was like, "You won't believe it. When I woke up in the morning, all the pain was gone. The strength was back in my ankle." And so it's just like, even if you don't see anything on the spot, like, we always want to see the miracle happen right then and there, but sometimes it happens later. And so I just want to encourage you guys, like, God is still moving even when we don't see it happen. Before we get to the equipping and activation spot, I just want to list off some things real quick. I have it titled, Tips on Praying for the Sick. Number one, don't be weird. Try to make the person comfortable. Number two, I've dealt with this multiple times and people have prayed for me. If the person is in pain, be gentle. Don't put your body weight on them. I've had people pray for me and I'm like, ah, oh, this hurts worse. Like, ah. Oh. And then three, in public, keep it short and keep it simple. When I'm praying for someone for healing, like, they're probably weirded out. I don't know what's going through their head, but I try to keep it under 10 seconds, honestly. Like, God doesn't need much. And, like, yeah, it's just by faith, you know? And, you know, in church, we can pray longer. That's awesome. But when you're out there, like, you're lucky that people are even talking to you, you know? So you don't, and if they're cool with it, then yeah, go longer. But a lot of people, they have things to do. They're busy. And then four, when I'm praying for someone, what I'm doing is I'm just commanding the pain to go. I'm commanding the body part to be healed. I'm just taking authority. And so, I mean, like I've said throughout almost all the testimonies, just knee be healed in Jesus' name. Pain go. Be fully restored right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for mobility. Amen. That's it. There's not even really, I don't even want to say that there's power in the words. There is authority. There's stuff like that, but it's just stepping out and believing. It's faith. It's faith that moves a mountain, y'all. But it's also just simple. You don't have to overcomplicate it. Number five, actually. If the pain moves, it is a spirit of infirmity. I could teach on this more, but you really don't have to know every single thing about this. But if someone's pain moves, it's a spirit of infirmity. I don't say spirit of infirmity go, I just say infirmity go. They don't know what infirmity is, but I don't want to scare the person that, oh, do I have this spirit? Do I have this demon? Like, what is this? You know, we love people. They don't have the knowledge of everything that we do. And so just to comfort them, infirmity go in Jesus' name, and it has to leave. Number six, try not to have more than two other people with you. We don't want to scare people. Like, you know, we could be in a group of five of us and just try to overbear them, and we don't want to do that. We love people. And then seven, you might feel tingling, heat, electricity, or nothing at all. The feeling doesn't determine the healing. There are times I feel nothing, and I'm just believing, and they get healed still. It doesn't matter. Like, I love when I feel it. It's awesome. It's cool. But I don't rely on that. And there are times when I relied on it, and I saw a lot less, honestly. Number eight, sometimes you're just planting seeds. I think we have it in our heads that we have to be the one to save every single person we pray for. But a lot of the times, we're just planting seeds. And so I just want to take that pressure off you. Obviously, like, preach the gospel, tell them about Jesus. But we can't force them to come into the kingdom. All we can do is plant seeds. Nine, don't pray in tongues in public. Again, don't be weird. I love tongues. I pray in tongues all the time. But when I'm praying in public over someone, they don't know what that is. They're going to think I'm even more crazy. I'm already asking them to be healed, you know? So just for me personally, I don't do that. 10, you know, when you start stepping out, you might not really hear anything from God. But for me personally, and I've known this to happen with a lot of other people as well, the more they stepped out, they actually started getting words of knowledge. God would tell them ahead of time that a person had pain, and that makes it a lot easier. Now, I don't rely on that. When it happens, it's awesome. I don't rely on it. But when God tells you that person has back pain, I can just go up to them, hey, you have back pain, don't you? And they're like, how do you know that? Opens the door. It's awesome. And if you think you have a word of knowledge and it wasn't and you miss it, it's okay. You're stepping out. You know, we're learning how to do this thing. 11. I only have two more. Don't worry. The worst people can do is say no. The worst that can happen is nothing. And even then, God is still moving. Number 12, majority of the people aren't expecting to get healed. They think it's just a nice gesture. So step out. Like, you know, they're being nice by letting you to do it, but they're not expecting you to be healed. Most people aren't in spirit-filled churches, you know? And so they're just as shocked as you are when it happens. Hopefully you're not shocked, but when you start out, you're shocked. Sometimes I still get shocked, you know? There's times I'm like, man, I have no faith for this. I don't think that anything's going to happen. And they get healed. I'm like, okay, thank you, God. And then number 13. I know 13 is a spooky number to some people, but I love the number 13. Because in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The goal of this is to love people for Jesus. Because Jesus loves people. And so now that I've given you some steps, we're going to do a little activation. We're going to, if there's anyone in here who needs healing, well, actually, everyone stand up. If there's anyone in here who needs healing, would you just put your hand up? It can be for anything. And if there's anyone in here who doesn't need healing, I want you to go and lay hands on them real quick. Any difference? Any improvements? Awesome. No, yeah. And I just want to encourage you guys, like I said earlier, if you don't feel like there's any difference, if you don't feel like there's any improvement, man, I'm still believing that God is moving. I'm still believing that God is healing you. Maybe we didn't see it today, but we're still believing. We're believing. And so, guys, I'm just telling you guys, out on the streets, it's that simple. It's 10 seconds and less. Simple prayer, just stepping out in faith, praying for people that you see. If you see them limping, if you see them having a cane, just anything, even if you don't see anything at all. Honestly, cashiers, they always have pain in their feet. People who are working, standing all the time, back pain, stuff like that. Just go up to them and ask them, hey, can I pray for you? But yeah, man. Yeah, I just, before we dismiss, I just want to pray over you guys. Man, Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're starting, Lord. I thank you for the healings that you're starting, Lord. I thank you for the restoration that's coming throughout the next couple of days. I thank you that next Sunday we're going to have testimonies of what God did here and throughout the week, Lord. I thank you, Lord, we're going to have testimonies of people stepping out, praying for their waitresses, for their waiters, for the cashiers at the Walmarts, Lord. I thank you everywhere we go, Lord, we can be a light. We can go and step out in healing and praying for people, God. And you're going to back up your word, God. You're going to back up our faith, even though we may feel small, we may be afraid, God, you're going to back it up, God. I thank you, Lord, just for healing people. You want to heal through us, Lord. You've qualified us. You've made us your sons. You've made us your daughters, Lord. I thank you, Lord. All creation is growing for the sons of God to be revealed. And so I just thank you, God. We're going to take this thing out in Jesus' name. So I just bless everyone here, Lord. We just thank you, God, that you have your hand on every single person here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.